psalm, which is Psalm 52. And what I would like to do is I will read the odd verses. I'll begin, and you follow along with the even verses, if you will. Let's share this together, if we can. Why do you boast, O mighty one, of mischief done against the godly all day long? You love evil more than good and lying more than speaking the truth. But God will break you down forever. He will snatch and tear you from your tent, and he will uproot you from the land of the living. See the one who would not take refuge in God, but trusted in abundant riches and sought refuge in wealth. I will thank you forever because of what you've done. In the presence of the faithful, I will proclaim your name, for it is good. Amen. This morning, our gospel reading is one of my favorite stories in the Gospel of Luke. It is the story of Mary and Martha. Hear these words. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. And there is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord. Do you know what racing rats are? Racing rats, really there is no such thing as racing rats, but they are sheep who have bought Adidas running shoes and little Adidas shorts and t-shirts, and they put bandanas around their head and they've entered races, and they're running in races. And when they squeeze their feet into Adidas running shoes, they get this pinched expression on their face, just. And it's determined, and they're worried, and they're anxious, and they're trying to please their family, and they're trying to please their friends, and they're trying to please the bosses at their job, and they're trying to please their church, and they're trying to please God, and they're trying to please their neighbors, and they're trying to please everybody that has anything for them to do. They're trying with all their heart. And they're rushing around, and they're hurrying here, and they're hurrying there. If we could get them to stop just for a moment and consider who they are, if we could get them to squeeze their feet out of those running shoes and get off the treadmill or get off the racetrack, then they might realize they are sheep in a pasture. If we could get them to understand just who they are, then there might be a transformation. A transformation might take place in their lives that they never considered. The good news this morning is, even though Martha believes she's a racing rat, and we know Mary is a sheep in the pasture, we're going to hear the voice of the Savior. We're going to hear the voice of the shepherd. Right now, things are kind of tense because Martha is racing around trying to get her house ready. Have you ever tried to do that? The meal is not ready, and the floors are not ready, and the flowers are not ready, and the bathroom's not ready, and the stew is not ready, and the bread is not ready, and she is rushing here, and she's rushing there. She's going at top speed to try to get everything done as quickly as she possibly can. I want you to get a picture of these two sisters. One is worried and frustrated. The other's wonderful. One is frustrated and the other is focused. One believes she is a racing rat. The other is a sheep in a pasture listening for the shepherd. Do you see these two? Do you see what they're doing? Somewhere Martha gets the idea that she ought to delegate responsibility. I mean, after all, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to save the world. He's here with all his disciples and his friends, and they have work to do. And so Martha decides that she's going to go out into the courtyard where they're all seated. There's apparently a ledge in the edge of the courtyard under a tree, and Jesus is seated there on the ledge, and all the disciples are sitting around listening to Jesus, and Mary, Martha's sister, is seated right there in front of him, and they're laughing, and Jesus is saying rather important things to all of them. Martha's not laughing, and she comes into that group, and she stands there. You can hear how she says, Mary already knows what she's going to say. Sisters have a way of knowing that. You don't have to say anything. And Mary waves her sister off, and Martha is burned up about that. And so she leans down, and she cups her hand to talk to Jesus. The rest think she's asking a question about the meal, but in reality, she's asking, Lord, are you not concerned that there's all these things to do and Mary is not helping me at all? Do you hear the whine in her voice? Do you hear the complaint in her voice? Do you hear the victim in her voice? She is doing the work of God. She is doing what someone has asked her to do. She's getting this whole house ready. And here is Mary sitting in front of Jesus. Do you hear Martha justifying herself, justifying her frustration? She's all by herself. She's doing it alone. Now she's blaming Jesus. Do you not care? I think Jesus smiles at her, and he's going to say something back to her rather discreetly. Martha, Martha. He calls her two times because she's distracted, remember? She's the racing rat here. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her. Martha is distracted. That Greek word means to be pulled apart and pulled away. Jesus is saying to Martha, you are pulled apart and you are pulled away from what is essential for your life. And what is essential for your life is essential for Mary's life. It is essential that you hear my voice. Martha has a choice to make. She has a choice to decide if she's going to remain a racing rat. Or is she going to do something else? Is she going to act out who she is? What is she going to do? The story ends right here. Just look, verse 42. We don't have any idea what happens here. And so the question is, how does it continue? The interesting thing is, that Jesus doesn't tell Martha, Martha, you know, you have a point. There is a kitchen to take care of. There is food to be prepared. There are things to be done. And in just 5 minutes, I'm going to send Mary in to help you. Recently, there was a Presbyterian woman study that said how we can learn from Mary and Martha. I've actually had people in churches come up to me and say, I need to tell you that I'm a Martha and that's all I'll ever be. But Jesus doesn't speak to Martha and say, you know, you have a point. He doesn't say that. And so here at the end of verse 42, he commends Mary. Now, what does Martha do? Does she leave the scene and go out the back door and take her rolling pin and go beat a tree and say, who does he think he is? Does she go out the back door and go find solace with a neighbor? Does she go out the back door and just take a hike because she's had it up to here with the Savior of the world and he's just not doing anything that's very helpful? I believe what Martha does is I believe she recognizes that she's a racing rat. And she takes off her rat clothes. She gets out of her rat shoes and the rat suit. She takes off her apron. And I believe, we're not told it here, but I believe she sits down with Mary. And they begin to laugh. Suddenly, she's acting like a sheep in a pasture. She's listening to Jesus. And after a time, they hear some rather profound things. Jesus brings it to a close, and they all stand up. And I believe Jesus would turn to Martha and say, Martha, now what do we need to do together to get this meal on the table? I think that's what happened. And so now Martha is telling people what to do. I want you to come and get the bread out of the oven. And I want the two of you to go get some more wood for the fire. Is there anyone here who can set the table? And is anybody here pretty good with a broom? Okay, James and John, the two of you are responsible for sweeping this stuff into the corner. And I believe that together they make that meal happen. This morning, a transformation can occur in your life, in my life, when we take this story seriously. Now, you and I have our notebooks, and we have our to-do lists, and it's important that we plan our lives. And maybe this story overstates its case to make a point. But what does it mean for you and I to learn how to listen to Almighty God, to listen to our Savior, to listen to the shepherd's voice? It might mean we make a commitment to be in church every Sunday, not just to join Meadow Lake, but to listen for the voice of Jesus. It might mean for us to take some time one day a week, maybe an afternoon, and call it Sabbath time, and we devote that time to be Sabbath. And we don't cut the grass, we don't do chores, we don't watch TV. It's Sabbath time. Or maybe we find a folding chair and go out and sit in a cool, quiet place and open the Word of God and read the Scriptures and say, Lord, open my mind and heart to your Word in Jesus Christ. Tell me what you want me to hear. I believe a transformation would occur. You see, there is an alternative to the rat race, and it's taking off all those rat clothes to be sheep in the pasture. Now, I suspect there's some of us here who may be a bit distracted by life. What are we going to do? What are we going to do now? Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for Mary and Martha, and we thank you for the story our Savior is teaching us and teaching them. And we would humbly ask that you help us to hear your still small voice, hear the ways that we are distracted, and hear the ways that you want us to be still before you, that we might be inspired by your truth, encouraged by your grace, lifted by your instruction and held by your good news and your love. Let it be so today and in the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen.